Okay, it's a very special schus to be here. I want to, first of all, thank Racheli and the Shemamas for opening up their bias. So beautiful that you had first, that you're making brachas. You know, I always feel there's no better way. A lot of people ask me often for a practical way to work on connecting to Hashem. A practical way to build emunah. We can learn about it, we can talk about it. And I always feel there's no better way than making brachas. Making brachas, if we really make brachas slowly and think about the words, there's no better way to work on our recognition that Hashem is in our lives every single moment. Hashem is by our side every single moment. So Bez Hashem, each and every one of you that we're making brachas, you should be zocha to not just make brachas, but to live these brachas, and live with that realization, that recognition, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by your side. But really, it's a special schus to be here. And Mirtz Hashem, all the Torah should be a schus and a chizik for the whole house. For Chayli, for your whole family, Mirtz Hashem. You know, there are two instances, two occurrences in my childhood that I constantly look back on and somewhat regret. And I, Baruch Hashem, I don't have too many regrets in life. And I don't believe that's the way one should live their life if you want to live besimcha. But there are two occurrences, two things that happened to me. And partially it was my fault, partially not, that I look back and I wish we were done a little bit differently. Don't worry, there's nothing so major. Baruch Hashem, I love my wife and my children, and you know, we're not going there. Baruch Hashem. Now, when I was young, so I used to go, my parents used to take me year in and year out, often just my father, sometimes with my mother as well, to the Hask concert. Every year. I'm sure the Chever, a lot of you have worked in the Hask over the summer. The Chever knows every year they put on, as a fundraiser, a big concert, often in Lincoln Center, some other major makom. And they bring in of the best Jewish singers. It's really a beautiful, special event. And it's all to make money for Hask. What better organization to support so beautiful? And I was young and I didn't understand really deeply what Hask was, to some degree, a little bit as a young kid. But I enjoyed the music, I enjoyed going, the scene. And one year we went, and the concert went on very long. It was one of these years, I remember it was in Lincoln Center, and we had seats like on the side, you know, on the, like the balconies, the little balconies on the side. I'm sitting there with my mother and my father, and the concert was going very, very long. And hit a point, my mother was a little bit tired and really decided, like, we should leave early. Otherwise, we had a great time already. Was what it was, and my father was trying to convince her we should stay, I remember, but she wanted to go. We said, okay, we'll leave. And we left a little bit early. We didn't stay till the end. And it came out, we found out the next morning, that year, they had a special guest appearance, a surprise guest, Reb Shlomo Carbach. Reb Shlomo Carbach came to the Hask concert. If you see, you could see video footage when Reb Shlomo came to the Hask concert. Now, the MS is at the time, I wouldn't have appreciated it. I wasn't really knowledgeable or understanding of who Reb Shlomo was and his music was at the time as a young, probably a young teenager, maybe 13, 14, I don't remember exactly how old. But years later, when I started to appreciate the unbelievable music of Reb Shlomo Carbach, the unbelievable life of Reb Shlomo Carbach, I looked back and I never in my life ended up seeing Reb Shlomo live and knowing that I was right there. Knowing that I was a part of it, I was literally in the building, and I could have experienced it, and I didn't. I always look back at that and like have this place in my heart that's a little bit empty, you know, missing out. That was one occurrence. Second occurrence is the following, which also at the time I didn't appreciate, and you'll understand. But so my ex great aunt. Okay, my ex great aunt. She was married for many, many years to my great-uncle, to my grandmother's brother, and eventually they got divorced. But my mother, this was my mother's great-aunt at first, stayed very close to her. Her name's Hensha Gansberg. She was Hensha Stone, Irving Stone, who Baruch Hashem has changed the world. We have the stone of the Shilchumish, right? You know, meaning it was her father. And she ended up, when she got remarried, she remarried a Chabadnik, Rav Gansberg, and they lived directly across from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zecher Tzaddik Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mamish directly across on President Street in Crown Heights. People think the Rebbe lived in 770. He didn't live in 770. 770 is Chabad headquarters, where the Beis Medrash is, and where all the unbelievable things that Chabad do ran out of then. Now they have many, many places and many offices. But that was his office. That was the Beis Medrash. It's where all the Fabringans went on. But he lived around the corner on President Street, directly across the street from my ex-great aunt, from Hensha. She lived in Bewell, amazing person. Now she lives in Boca. Hensha. If you're in Boca, you go visit her. Anyways, so we used to go, when I was growing up, we used to go every year for Purim Suda to her house, to the Gansbergs. It was very beautiful. And every year Purim, in the middle of like that time, late Purim afternoon, the Rebbe would give out dollars. Right? You all know that the Rebbe used to give out dollars. The idea behind the Rebbe giving out dollars, people don't, they just know the Rebbe gave out dollars. The idea was the Rebbe would give out dollars that you were supposed to give that dollar to tzedakah. Now, instead of giving that dollar, so you'd keep that dollar as a skula and you'd exchange it with another dollar. But the idea, he was trying to teach Klal Yisrael to give and be there for others. That's what the dollars were for. It wasn't just like, here's some gelt. So you'd give that dollar. Now, Hensha and her husband, Zecher Tzaddik Kadosh Baruch Hu, so they were very close with the Rebbe and big in Chabad. They had, I remember as a kid, they had in their house this phone. It was on this like little table. And the phone, anytime anything was going on in 770, like if the Rebbe was going to speak and give a Fabrengen, if the Rebbe was giving out dollars, the phone would ring. See, I don't know, it's before your time, there was a Batman, you know, had this like bat phone. Whoever knows what I'm talking about, maybe they know, whatever. And when they needed Batman to come and to help, I don't know, save the world, whatever Batman does. So the bat phone would ring, and he'd know it's time to go. So this was like, I always thought of this as a kid, this was the bat phone. You know, the Rebbe's bat phone. And literally, you couldn't use it to call anywhere else. It just was like directly connected. I don't know how many people had this in Charan Heights at the time. Directly connected to 770. And it would ring. So in the middle of Purim Suda, I remember the phone would ring, and someone, I don't know, it was a recording, with somebody would say, the Rebbe's giving out dollars. So 2 years, I still remember, my father took me. I was a little boy, maybe 11 years old, 10, 12 years old, I don't remember exactly. And we went to the Rebbe and stood online and got dollars from the Rebbe. And those were the two times I met the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that's all. Now I was a little boy, I didn't appreciate it, I didn't understand. I didn't understand what it was. But I had these dollars, and for a while, for a few years, I saved these dollars. That these dollars from the Rebbe, I had dollars from, I knew that, my father told me, whatever they were. Then I grew up a little. Maybe I was in high school, maybe 15, maybe 16. And I was with a friend of mine, and we were walking on Central Avenue. And I had these dollars in my wallet. We're walking Central Avenue all the way down near where, like, Traditions is. There used to be there, like, a card store. And it was known, like, they would sell the scratch-off lottery tickets, even to, like, little kids. They didn't care. Okay. This place doesn't exist anymore, as I could say. So we went there that day, and we said, we're going to buy some lottery tickets. So we start buying a few lottery tickets. You know, a little kid, you think, it could be a terrible addiction. You know, you understand as a little kid. And I said to myself, you know what? I turned to my friend, I'm saying, I have these dollars from the Rebbe. These are like magic dollars. These are like big stuff. I'm going to use them. I'm going to buy myself. We'll be in the money. I'm going to use them, and we'll buy lottery tickets. And I used them, and I bought lottery. I think I actually won on one of them, like $10, okay? I think I won $10 on one of them, if I'm not mistaken. But there went my dollars from the Rebbe, never to be seen again. And years later, when I started to appreciate the godless of the Tzaddik Hador, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zecher Tzaddik Kadosh Baruch Hu, who after his death has changed my life through his Torah and through just being able to go daven by the oil. So I look back, I wish I had those dollars. I mamish wish I had those dollars. It was something I look back upon. It was a big mistake. They were experiences of my life that I didn't grab onto because I didn't appreciate their godless. I didn't appreciate what it was, and I missed out ultimately. So I missed out on Shlomo Karmach, and I missed out on these dollars that today could have been something very, very special for me. Each and every one of us is about to enter into the world of Chanukah. We're about to enter into the world of Chanukah. The world of miracles. The world of R, the world of light. So to some people, what are these 8 days? To some people, these are going to be 8 days. And we're going to celebrate. We're going to light a menorah. I'm going to sing a few songs. I'm going to eat some latkes and maybe some jelly donuts. Try not to too much, you know, we'll do what we could do. Play a little dreidel. Give some presents. Accept some presents. Chanukah. But during the day, it's going to be, as Chanukah is, normal days. And we have school. And we have work. And we're going to go through Chanukah. And our lives, lo aleinu, not those of us here, hopefully, are going to be the same as we entered in. So we had a good time. We had a good time. We experienced. And 2 weeks later, at most, as if it never even happened. And even really after, because if we can't appreciate what the day is, what the days are, so how are we going to connect to them? How are we going to grow from them? If all we think Chanukah is a celebration of some oil that lasted 8 days, and we'll light a menorah and sing in some nice, beautiful family time, which is never a bad thing. But let's be real, we had that a week ago on Thanksgiving already, you know? But if we think that's all that Chanukah is, if we don't understand and appreciate the depth of Chanukah, the essence of Chanukah, the ruchniyat of Chanukah, the kedusha of Chanukah, so it's going to be ultimately similar to my life in those experiences that I shared, a time that just passes us by. And maybe later we'll look back and wish we could grab back that opportunity. Wish. So I'll tell you something. The chevra here, we've had this chus over the years to learn often together. You probably already have picked up on the type of shiurim and style when I try to give over. Try to always develop a deep idea in Torah, an exciting idea in Torah, but not just an idea by itself, something we could all gain from and grow from and be inspired by and walk out a different person. That's how I... Why? Because that's how I deeply connect to Torah. Torah to me is not just an intellectual pursuit. It's an emotional pursuit as well, and it's supposed to be life-altering and life-changing and allow me to see the world in a different light. And that's what I try to give over, and I hope we're learning together in that way. Tonight's going to be slightly different. Tonight's going to be slightly different. Tonight's going to be hachana, preparation. And we might not walk out tonight any different. But the goal of tonight is that when we get to Zos Chanukah and we walk through the 8 days, we're going to have such a different appreciation of the godless of these days that we're going to all be very different people because of the Yontif of Chanukah. The goal is that over the next few days, we're going to be so excited. And not just excited because we haven't had Yontif in 2 months. Because again, like, it's nice family time and we all are excited to light a menorah. Those of us who light the menorah in the room, that's a whole other discussion with women. If anyone wants at the end, maybe we could answer a few shilas when it comes to lighting the menorah. But you all have the mitzvah to light the menorah just like men. That's no question. Every single one of you has a mitzvah to light a menorah just like a man. And if you're not, for sure, if you're not home with your fathers, then everybody has a chiyuv to light a menorah. There's no question. And the mitzvah is for women just as much as men. As Yontif is just as much for women as men, no question. On the same level. So the idea tonight is to build a depth and appreciation of Chanukah. So this Chanukah could be the greatest Chanukah we've ever experienced. And really tap into Chanukah because it's such a deep holiday. You know, the aura of Chanukah, the light of Chanukah is supposed to be a little bit of a taste of the Or HaGonas. The Or HaGonas is a hidden light that is the most spiritual connection to Hashem we can have in this world. It was created during the first days of creation, but put into hiding for only tzaddikim when they deeply learn Torah. But these 8 days, we connect to it. How many candles do we light throughout Chanukah, not including the Shamash, which is extra? So we have. If you start 8, plus 7, plus 6, plus 5, plus 4, plus 3, plus 2, plus 1, it's 36 candles. 36 hours the Or HaGonas was in this world. We're tapping into, connecting to that Or HaGonas. We have to understand this. So, you know, earlier tonight you had a brachos party, and it's very beautiful. It's incredible. I was thinking about it earlier in the week. You know, you all know brachos that you make on food, that we all make on food, are only midrabbanan, are only rabbinic in nature. There's nowhere in the Torah it says we have to make, if you're going to have a chesed, there's this carrot over here and you make a bar b'adama, nowhere in the Torah does it say that. Midaraisa, you don't. Seemingly generations of Jews didn't make a bar b'adama when they had a carrot. It was a gzera later. Takana later, when they had these grapes, the bar p'eitz, whatever it might be. There are only two brachas that are considered midaraisa from the Torah. Birchas haTorah, and benching, v'chalta v'savata v'rachta. Every other bracha is midrabanan, rabbinic. Why is that? If brachas are so special, are so important, can so elevate our lives, shouldn't they be in the Torah? So I thought as follows. What does a bracha do? What does a bracha do? So I had this here. I had this cup of Snapple. You know what the bracha does for this cup of Snapple? You know what the bracha does for this cup of Snapple? It takes this mundane, materialistic, physical activity, and it helps me connect to Hashem through this. Helps me recognize Hashem gave me this. Helps me recognize there's a kesher takarish baruch Hu when I drink this. In this, and in everything in this world, in the mundane world, there is Rabbi Nishalom, there is Kedusha, and I'm supposed to elevate it. The nitzoytzoys of the world. The nitzoytzoys of everything. Those are the sparks of Kedusha that are in everything in the world. And when you make a bracha, that's the avoda. The bracha is to find that and connect to that. That's what we do when we make a bracha. So why is that not midraisa? You know why it's not midraisa? Because in a perfect situation, the Rebbeinu wanted for Yidden, for generations, that we don't need a bracha to be able to do that. Of course, how can I not? If I take a carrot, how can I recognize Hashem gave me this from Hashem? What a miracle. And connect to Hashem in that act. In a perfect world, I wouldn't even need a bracha to feel that closeness to Hashem in everything that I do. You read the Sadoras, we fall and we need the bracha. And we have to understand that. So therefore, now we understand, what does the bracha do? The bracha is magder, it fences in and helps us connect and understand how this is a way to connect to Hashem. So you know what tonight's going to be? This is going to be our bracha of Chanukah. This is going to be our bracha of Chanukah. We're going to understand tonight how deep and how holy and how special Chanukah is, so that Chanukah is not just a day that we go through and eat jelly donuts and latkes and play some dreidel and have a good time, but it's going to be full of Kedusha, full of Ruchnias, full of mamish, a kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, feeling that arganas and walking away a very, very different person than we walked in. Amir Tasham. You know, you have to understand Chanukah. We know Chanukah is one of the Yom Tov, so high thoughts of Chanukah. Chanukah also is only Midrabanan. Chanukah is only Midrabanan. It's not Midaraisa. Chassam Sofer says no. Chassam Sofer says no. And we have to understand this Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer has a whole lamdis. I'm not going to go through the whole lamdis of it. But he says, when we are celebrating a miracle that happened to Klal Yisrael, it's a Chiv Daraisa. How we exactly do it, each thing that we do is only Midrabanan. But the concept of celebrating a miracle of Hashem is midaraisa, we're mekayim midaraisa at such a holy time. You know, there's a famous chazal, I might have said this over before Yom Kippur, I don't remember if it was when we learned before Yom Kippur, or it was at the Kaisel El Yom Kippur. I don't know if anyone here was by the Kaisel, some of the women were. There's a chazal that ha-satan, the satan, which is our enemy, what we're trying to fight our lives against. HaSatan is Gematria 364. HaSatan is 364. So what does that mean? We know how many days are there in the year? 365 days. The Satan rules over and battles us 364 days of the year. There's one day a year where there's no Satan. We're fully close to Hashem, full of Kedusha, full of Kirvas Elkim. What day is that? Don't say Chanukah, don't get confused. Yom Kippur. One day a year. Even though here Shabbos, I like how you said that, because we said before how Shabbos is even holier than Yom Kippur in ways. Yom Kippur is called Shabbos Shabbason. But Yom Kippur, being that it's only one day a year, and have that full of Kedusha and that closeness, in we enter into Kodesh Kedoshim, that day a year, the Satan doesn't roll over. That's the easiest day to be close to Hashem. Comes along the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim has a different remez. He says, if you look into Parsha, in Parsha Beloscha, where it discusses the menorah, you look in the Parsha of the menorah, there's no samach. There's no letter samach. There's no letter samach. What samach represents? The Satan. Samach represents the Satan. The Satan is known as the samach mem. There's no samach, the Baal Turim says, because the Satan doesn't rule over Neros. When we're connected to Neros of Chanukah, there's also no Satan. It's so holy! We could be on a level of Yom Kippur for these 8 days. Yom Kippur is hard to keep with us. It's only one day. Here we have 8 days to experience that closeness. 8 days to be one with Hashem that we could take with us. And we could concretize this growth, understanding the amazing godless of these days. The greatness of these days of Chanukah. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, Min hametzer karasi ka, you all know this pasuk. We daven it all the time, every single day. Min hametzer karasi ka, nani ba'merchav ka. It's literally min hametzer karasi ka. We call out to Hashem. Min hametzer, it's translated from the straits. Meitzer is lashon tsar, of being very narrow when you're in pain and you're in suffering. We all have our situations in life. Every single one of us has our difficulties. Begashmi o beruchni. Every single one of us has their times. We need help. So what is our answer? Or our first response? The first response has to be, Karasika. First response has to be, I call out to Hashem. First and foremost, I have to call out to Hashem. And then, Anani b'merchavka. Anani b'merchavka. So Pasha Pshat, Anani b'merchavka. You'll answer me with Bamerchav. Rachav means in a wide way, in an expansive way. That if we call out to Hashem in our times when we're tzar, when we're narrow, and we're down and out and depressed and sad about something, He'll answer us in an expansive way. Which is true also when a person is down and upset, they're very narrow. All they think about is that. They can't look at the big picture. When we're besimcha, we're much wider. We're out there. We're with other people. We're also just in life. When you're upset and you're sad, you crawl into your corner in your bedroom. You don't want to see anybody. We're tzar, we're narrow. We want Hashem to answer us and bring us to a state of rachav as well, to be expansive. This is so an amazing Torah. B'derech drush to understand this pasuk. That at our difficult times, begashmi beruchni, in our physical life, in our spiritual life, in our dating life, in our whatever it might be, anani b'merchav. You'll answer me b'merchav. B'merchav means in an expansive way, as pasuk papa. B'merchav, b'merchav. If you take the gematria of Merchav, Merchav Mem Resh Ches Beis, is exactly Gematria 250, exactly Gematria Ner. Min HaMeitzer Karasi Ka, we're going to call out Hashem at difficult times, Bamerchav, Anani Bamerchav Ka. You know when Hashem will answer us? When we're by the Ner. Bamerchav, B'ner, B'Gematria. When we're standing by those candles, when we're standing by the candles, there's potential for tremendous geula. It's a tremendous time to daven and to be machshavos and to grow ourselves in an incredible way. Every single one of us has to understand the moments. As women, there's a special halacha the first 30 minutes after candle lighting, not to do any malacha. Take it upon yourself. It's a special halacha for women, more than men. It's a little bit of a schar and celebration, women, because Yehudis played such a crucial role in the yontiv, in bringing the geula. It's also, I've discussed and explained, this is the menorah of Chanukah, is the menorah of Beis HaMikdash. The closest that women could get to an avod in Beis HaMikdash is Chanukah. Because you're literally involved in avod in Beis HaMikdash. Usually women are not involved in avod in Beis HaMikdash. So we have to have a yontiv. Those first 30 minutes should be a yontiv. There's different deos what that means. Some hold you shouldn't do any malacha just like it's Shabbos. We don't paskin like that. But at least not to do, really those first 30 minutes, take it upon yourself. At least for 30 minutes every night by the Neros. Then you're going to sit and do cheshbon and nefesh and maybe sing or daven, whatever does it for you, zok tehillim, whatever does it for you. To connect to Hashem, to use that time, which is b'merchav anani ka, they're tremendous times where Hashem can answer our tefillos. We have to understand the koach of these moments. You know, there's a minog in Sanz, I don't know, I think it's still done. Sounds a little crazy and dangerous, but I've read this and I've been told about it, and by a few other chassidim as well, that when in the Beis Medrash, you know, the halacha is not only do we light the menorah at home, but in shul, you light a menorah between mincha and ma'ariv. And in tzans, in the basement, tzans or chassidim, when they would light the, whoever would be lighting the menorah, This is crazy. Tons of like kids and would come and start throwing tons of towels at him. Very strange minog, right? Very, very strange minog. Sounds crazy. Sounds very dangerous. I mean, we're talking about fire over here. But okay. Hopefully there'll be people that, you know, could, I don't know, you imagine the scene. You have to have people blocking it, you know, like a whole entire scene. What's a crazy minog? What kind of crazy minog? Every minog by Chassidim has some depth to it. What is the depth here? They understand that the moment of lighting menorah is such incredible, incredible potential of Kedusha and Kirvas Elokim and Anani Bamerchav Ka. So they started the minog to throw these towels that the Satan, because what happens when there are tremendous moments of Kedusha, we spoke about this a few weeks ago on Matzei Shabbos Kodesh, we were speaking about Matzei Shabbos where it's such a holy time but also has potential for such tumma. It's when all the averos go down because the Satan always wants to battle against these times when we have potential for such holiness. So the Satan wants to battle against Neres Chanukah because they're so holy. So this is like a little bit of a decoy. The Satan will focus on this and look and play around with us and tell everyone, look, they're just throwing towels and won't focus on trying to shtar the actual lighting. That's the idea behind it. But that's these moments of Anani Bamerchav Ka. The moment of lighting a menorah which can change our lives. Begashmi Baruchni, and we have to believe in that and understand this koach. Let's take it upon ourselves, this Chanukah. Those 30 minutes, and some nights it can't be the first 30 minutes. Again, the first 30 minutes really is the Iker Mitzvah, and that's when we're supposed to not be doing malacha as women, not doing anything that's definitely a tircha. That's the best time. But if on a particular night you can't for whatever reason, so then later in the night, decide every night for a half hour, you're going to sit by the Neros. You're going to sit by the Neros and gain from this Kedusha that's there. And maybe in the past I haven't felt it because I didn't appreciate what it was. But this year I'm going to appreciate it. And stare at the Neros, that Or HaGanas. And think about yourself and what you want to grow in and improve. And think about what you need to do better. It's an amazing time to be able to do that. And we're supposed to be looking at, you know, the halach is, you're not allowed to benefit from the Neros, right? So if there was no other candles lit in the room, you can't lit. If you didn't have the lights on, you can't read by the room. You can't daven by the lights. That's one of the reasons why we have a shamish. So if we benefit at all, we benefit from the shamish. Haneros halalu kodeshem. Haneros halalu kodeshem ve'enel rishus lishtamesh bem. These neros are holy and we don't have permission to use them. They're a mitzvah. They're not meant to benefit from. They're holy candles. They're holy candles. We have to understand that. What are the next few words in that we sing every night? Haneros halalu kodeshem ve'enel rishus lishtamesh bem. Ela lirosam bilvad. But to look at it alone. Why does it have to tell me that? I can't benefit from it. Avada, I'm allowed to look at it. Meaning, it's telling me there's something too. We should be looking at it. El Elarosim Bavad, I'm supposed to be watching the candles. What to be gained by looking at that R, that light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and connecting to this Kedusha. We have to use this time in our own growth, in our connection to Hashem. It's an amazing, in Tefillah, sit by the candles, take out Tillim, and Davin, min ameitza karazika anani b'merchakav. This is the greatest time that we could be answered through this Zman of Kedusha. So I want to share a story. I'm going to read it to you, because I can't even say it over if I don't read it to you, I don't think. I had other stories I wanted to share tonight, earlier in the week. And then this afternoon, an older Talmud of mine, who I haven't been in touch with in a long time, he sends me this story and said, I know Rebbe would enjoy it and gain a lot from it. I had to send you the story. And I read the story and I can't not share it now. I can't hold it in. It's so incredible. Harry Jones, a local town's mechanic, had achieved the American dream through hard work and dedication. Had a beautiful wife and two sons, a nice house, a dog, a successful business, and two late model cars. Life was good. His neighbors liked him. His two boys were studious, had many friends. But Harry had a secret that no one in town suspected. Harry was born in Warsaw, named Herschel Miller, or Heshi, as his parents and siblings called him. Harry Jones was really a Holocaust survivor, a Yid. Heshi was the youngest of five brothers and three sisters. Siblings were always teaching him games, walking him to cheder, just happened to be there whenever he'd get in trouble. All that life ended abruptly when the Nazis marched into Warsaw. Rav Yeruchim Miller, his father, the whole family were crammed into a small apartment with three other families. There was never enough food. Daily selection soon became the norm, and families were torn from each other to be sent to different labor camps. Through all these tribulations, the Millers managed to maintain a semblance of normalcy. Shabbos was still a fairly joyful day. Whatever food was available somehow tasted better. 3 days before Chanukah, the Nazis barged into the apartment and took Heshi and three of his brothers with them. A few hours later, the boy found himself in Auschwitz death camp. 13-year-old Heshi grew up very quickly during the next 3 years of horror, surrounded by sickness, death, and the stench from the crematoria. Couldn't understand why Hashem did not deliver his people as he's done many times before. How could the Almighty ignore the voices, the cries, the prayers of thousands of Jews? Somehow he managed to survive, and as soon as the war ended, he set out to find his family. Once again, he told himself, the Millers would sit together on Shabbos amidst song and delicious food as the candlelight and its warmth surrounded them. All too soon, he realized that no one but him was left. His life, his dreams, had all been destroyed. Whatever faith he still had now crumbled. If Hashem had so utterly abandoned him, he would abandon Hashem. On reaching America's connection to anything Jewish was discarded. Harry Jones, as he now called himself, soon learned the trade of mechanic, earning enough to pay for college and room and board. After a while, he met a girl with a very similar life story and married her. They moved to upstate New York and kept the secret of their origins deep within their hearts, never revealing it to anyone. Being hardworking, honest, and dependable, Harry built a reputable and successful business. For the next 15 years, all went well. The memories and hearts started to become blurred, but then something happened. As Jason, Harry's oldest, was about to turn 13, his father told him that on his birthday would take him to the mall to choose whatever Jason might like. Price would not be a consideration. Of course, the young boy was excited with the idea and couldn't wait for the day. They had barely entered the mall when Harry realized Jason was not at his side. He found him a short distance away, his face glued to the window of an antique store. "Dad, this is amazing. Come see this." "Come, Jason, why would I care about some old junk? Besides, the toy store is nearby." "But Dad, look at this. It's so cool. What is it?" Harry gave a quick glance and saw his son looking at a handcrafted wood menorah. Some long-buried memories painfully emerged in his mind, but he wasn't ready to face the past. "I'm going to check it out." Harry hurried into the shop and headed straight for the wood menorah. Harry followed his son, hoping to dissuade him. "Dad, I want this for my birthday," said Jason. As he held the menorah in his hand and looked at it in fascination, nothing his father said could dissuade the boy. "You said I could have anything. This is what I want." Harry couldn't understand what could possibly draw the boy to an object he could not even play with and which he had no idea how to use. But he made a promise to his son. However distasteful it might prove, he would keep his word. As he approached the counter, the man behind the counter said, "That item's not for sale, sir. You see, it's actually a ritual Jewish lamp, a menorah. Jews light it on the holiday of Chanukah. This one was handcrafted from wood chips during World War II, and will likely be worth a great deal of money for its historical value someday." Harry did not want the menorah, but his son pressed on. "Dad, you said I could have anything no matter the price. This is what I want." Harry had no choice. He had given his word and was not about to break it. He haggled with the man until he reached $1,400, at which point the storekeeper realized he couldn't ask for much more, or he would risk getting nothing. Jason was all smiles as together with his father he left for home. Jason went to his room with his new toy and tried to figure out how to play with it, while Harry sat down in the kitchen to talk to his wife. Suddenly, a loud crash from the upstairs room was heard. Harry, fearing the worst, ran up. His fears realized the menorah had fallen and shattered into many pieces. He was about to berate his son, but saw on the son's face that he was already punishing himself. "Let me help you clean this up," muttered Harry. As he was picking up the pieces, he found a rolled-up piece of paper in one of the hollowed arms of the menorah. Curious, he fished out and found the note in Yiddish. He read it as he became gradually pale and paler. Harry screamed and fainted. It took a while before he could recover enough to stay conscious without fainting again. "What did the note say?" he asked his wife. Harry read it to her. "I made this menorah with the hope that I will light it on the first day of Chanukah. I don't know if I'll make it through the next 7 or to the next Chanukah. I've concealed this note in the hope that whoever finds it will say Mishnayos for my soul and try to perform as many mitzvos as possible for me. It is the only hope I have left." Rav Yeruchim Miller son of Rev Herschel Miller. My father's name was Ruchel Miller, Harry said through his tears. Now, I was named Herschel after my grandfather. My own father made this menorah. Does that mean we are Jewish? Asked Jason. Yes, said Harry. And today is a special day for you. It was your bar mitzvah, something I never thought you'd have. But things are going to change now. The Almighty sent me this note, and the message burned itself directly into my heart. Harry Jones once again became Heshy Miller. He moved his family to a Jewish community, where they slowly began to practice what Harry and his wife had once discarded from their lives. Heshy Miller is today a Talmud Chacham. Chanukah. If Chanukah could take a Harry Jones and remind him he's Heshy Miller, you know what it could do for us? You know how each and every one of us, who we could be after a Chanukah? And we all want it. We want that closeness to Hashem where nothing else will bother us. Every single one of us wants that. That Jason, his son, who didn't even know he was a Jew. Didn't even know he was a Jew. There was something that pintled within him. Was always just telling, what's pulling him towards a menorah? What 13-year-old boy wants a wooden menorah? It was the neshama from within. And if it could take Harry and Jason and his mishpacha and turn them back into Kaddish de Giyid, you know what it could do for us? You know what the Yontif Chanukah could be for each and every one of us? If we understand this and utilize it and connect to the ruchnias of the day, not just going through the motions of the day. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. The Pasuk in Mishlei says so beautifully, our neshama is compared to a ner, to our candle. When our neshama connects to the candle of Chanukah, we're alive again. Our neshama is back again. You know, we always need things to bring our neshama, bring this back. You know, yesterday, mamish yesterday, my daughter was going through pictures on the computer. She's in eighth grade, my oldest daughter, and she they needed some pictures for her yearbook, Chesnish, I don't know. Anyways, Lamaisa, so I saw her going on, so I was looking with her, and I haven't looked at pictures on the computer in a long time, and I have all these like very old pictures. And the lot, I was specifically looking at the pictures of all my trips to Yisrael over the years. And all the pictures when I've taken Talmidim to Gedolim, to Tzadikim, and Gedolim that are no longer with us, and specifically to my Rebbe, Amori, Zeicher Tzadik, Kaddish Levrach, of Nassim Zvi Finkel. And I was seeing all these pictures of myself and Talmidim with Rav Nassim Zvi. And it was incredible, so special. And so I start, basically, I don't have Wi-Fi in the house or any internet, so I'm like, I want to get these pictures to these people, give them the chizik I'm getting. So I just take my phone, I start taking pictures, you know, from the computer and sending and WhatsApping them to Talmidim of mine, to older Talmidim. I'm talking married guys with four kids, you know, like from... These are pictures from the Chesed, 2005, 2006, 2007. And I sent to a lot of guys, Imamish, it was tremendous. And one of the guys, I send the picture, I'm looking at it right now, to one of the Chevra, a guy that I'm very close to, much of the Ketushin by Chasen, who I love so dearly. And he writes me back, "Ah, Rebbe, this gives me back my neshama. To see a picture of you with Rav Nassim Zvi Finkel, that you met Rav Nassim Zvi Finkel, that you spent time, and remind you of that moment." Ah, Rebbe, this gives me back my neshama. That's how he responded. You're telling me we need our neshama back. Sometimes we're not in touch with our neshama enough. Chanukah could give us all back our neshama. Chanukah, those moments, it's so kaddish. Bamercha of ka, Hashem's answering our beruchni, begashmi in every way. We have to believe it. Our neshama, because our neshama is a ner that wants us to connect to a ner. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. What's the end of the pasuk? With that ner, Chopes Kol Chadre Beden. You could search out all the most hidden places. But I saw from the base Avram of Slonim. He says Chopes is also Milashin Chofesh. Chofesh. What's Chofesh? Free. When I get in touch with my neshama on the Heilig Yant of Chanukah through the ner Hashem, the ner of Chanukah, Chofesh, I'm free again. My neshama is free again. I'm no longer shackled inside, hidden somewhere in the midst of my body. I'm free again. I'm alive. I'm with Hashem again. And this is what we're going to have the opportunity, Bez Hashem, to sit by the Neros and stare at the Neros. and bring our neshama back again, and to escape all that's holding us back, to escape all that. That's also in Tehillim we say, in Kuf Chav Dalet, Hapach Nishbar. It's the beginning of the pasuk again. Let's look it up over here. The pasuk says in Kuf Chav Dalet Zayin, Nafshenu Ketzipur. Nimlata mipach yoikshim. Our neshama is escaping like a bird from the trappers of the hunters, from the trappings of the hunters. Hapach, the trap nishbar is broken. Vanachnu mlatnu, and then we're going to escape. We need to break that trap that's holding our neshama back, right? If you take pach, and it's in the pasuk is hapach nishbar, the pach is broken. So you take pach, and you break it in half. Pach is gematria 88. So, but it's a pach nishbar. You break it in half. What's half of 88? That's very simple. 44. So we said before, we'd light 36 candles on Hanukkah. That's without the shamash. But we all light a shamash. If you add 8 more, you add the shamash to the 36 candles, we have how many candles throughout Hanukkah? 44 candles. Ha pach nishbar. When you take that pach and you cut it in half, you have 44. You have the 44 candles of Chanukah of Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, v'anachnu nimlatnu. Then we will escape and be free. Find that choyfesh that we're all looking for, that freedom to be alive, to be with our neshama. Ah, I saw that text from this Talmud. Ah, I got my neshama back. It gave me such chizik. It's amazing because that's what we all want, just to be with our neshama. To be connected to neshama. I happens to be my daughter who I was sitting with is neshama. But Lameisa, and that's obviously part of the reason why we called her neshama, and she's mom, she's a neshama. But we should all be a neshama. We should all be just a walking neshama, a living neshama. And we're about to enter into the Hilgi Yontav of Chanukah. This Yontav, which maybe in the past we might look back at it and say, ah, I had Chanukah before many times, it was nice. But it was mamish like, you know, being at a house concert and not staying for Reb Shlomo, you know? Or having in your wallet these dollars of the Lubavitcher Rebbe and throwing them away for nothing. Let's go through this Chanukah. Recognize its Kedusha. Recognize its Bracha. We tonight made our Bracha on Chanukah now. Now we're ready. We understand it's godless. We understand what it could do. What it could do for a Harry Jones. What it could do for an Aryeh Cohn. Imagine. What it could do for each and every one of us. Let's sit. Let's decide. We're going to spend time B'chesh B'nei Nefesh. By the Neros. Connect to the Ruchnius. And walk into Chanukah. One person walking out of Chanukah. Another person. Chanukah is a Zman of Geula, and a Zman Geula of Beis HaMikdash. So if we really tap into Chanukah in a proper way, each and everyone should be Zoyche to our own personal Geula, where we get back around the Shama, and then we'll be Zoyche to the ultimate Geula. With another Chanukah Beis HaMikdash, with Binya Beis HaMikdash Shlishi, with Mashiach Zidkenu, Bimheira B'Yameinu. Heilig, a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh, and Mirtz Hashem, a lichtige Heilige Chanukah.